Are you ready for a job that gets you more? UPS is hiring now. As a warehouse worker, you'll earn up to $21 per hour, and you might even be eligible for a program that helps you with thousands of dollars for college, in many cases tuition-free. Search and apply now at upsjobsky.com.
Card Nation, this is attorney Alex White with SueDistractedDriver.com. Our law firm is a team of dedicated attorneys ready to fight for you. If you get injured because of someone else's negligence, their insurance company already has a legal team, and now so do you. If you or a friend or loved one are injured, find your attorney at SueDistractedDriver.com.
This is an advertisement.
Time now for The Take with Andy Sweeney.
In Jackson, Dixieland delight.
The Take with Andy Sweeney.
Nothing says sex in Florida more than Mark Stoops.
And James Strebel.
Santa little meek little mouse.
On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
And secondly, here's a guy who is so mentally unstable that he drives to Duke to watch a college football game. You think I'm going to let a guy like that name a horse?
Oh, goodness.
That's
Danny Issel.
That is Dan Issel, by God.
Blank said he wanted to name one of the horses of Dan Issel's stable.
Oh, and Issel said, no.
Dan Loves Lamar, I think, was going to be the name of the horse.
Oh, really? Dan Loves Lamar.
For Dan Issel loving Lamar Jackson. 437-9680, we're going to get Mike DeCourcy in just a second. The 5 o'clock hour, as always, presented by Cox's Spirit Shops and Evergreen Liquors. Coming up on Tuesday, next Tuesday, we are going to be at the new Lou Evergreen location, getting you ready for the Tailspin Ale Fest. Cannot wait for that. All the beer, wine, spirits, premium cigars that you're going to need for tailgating, watching the game, watch parties, and of course Thanksgiving. It's all coming up, and it's all right there. They're delivering at Cox'sLouisville.com. Well, Mike DeCourcy joins us. Sporting News, Big Ten Network does the brackets there for Fox Sports at TSN. Mike, good afternoon. How are you, good sir?
I am well. How are you, Andy?
We are fantastic. Are you engrossed in the Georgia-Northwestern game that has 2 points in 3 minutes right now?
No, not yet, because I have to talk to you. You're keeping me
there
from
you go.
Important stuff, obviously.
I know. There you go. A little Northwestern Georgia. Who doesn't love a little Tommy Crean in the middle of the day on a Tuesday getting you ready for everything? Well, how is Mike DeCourcy staying up for all of these big-time games? How do you stay up? Are you a coffee guy, or you just run on pure adrenaline?
Well, I will confess to not staying up for Notre Dame St. Mary's last night.
That's okay.
That was a big ask.
Yeah.
But otherwise, it's just trying to get as much done as possible. You know, I don't know if I've ever told you my trick, really, is that I DVR everything and then try to get through it quickly rather than sit there and watch 2 hours of basketball. Now, I will make an exception. There are only a few a year. One of them is Kentucky, Louisville. One of them is Duke, Carolina. One of them is the Crosstown Shootout.
Oh, yeah.
In Cincinnati. And tonight I will certainly make an exception. I will watch Gonzaga versus UCLA live in its entirety.
Gonzaga is going to crush him, right? That's a leading question,
Mike. Oh, no,
Mike.
No.
It's a leading question.
No,
are they going to cover the seven? They cover the seven, maybe?
Is it seven? Is that what it is?
I think so.
I'm not a gambling guy.
I know you're not.
I'm not a gambler. But I think UCLA's, they're really good. And, I'd be surprised if they got handled like that.
Well, I have Gonzaga -7 for no reason other than to fade our producer, Jack Grossman, who has him the other way, who drove over to Freedom, Indiana, and made that bet, Mike. By the way, speaking of, you were in town for the NWSL. You didn't tell anybody.
I had to find out
secondhand. Well, how did everything go? Did you enjoy the stadium? Had you been to Lynn Family Stadium yet?
It was my first trip to Lynn Family Stadium.
It's nice.
I liked it very much.
Yeah, it's a nice stadium.
It was a great venue. Great occasion, terrific game. Obviously the NWSL has a lot they need to clean up.
Right.
But I think that game, and credit to Louisville, what a great response from the community. They had, I think, 10,300 and change there. I thought that was a great response, given that you know, you didn't have a six-month push to sell those tickets. You had, oh, by the way, we're doing this. Can you want to come? And Louisville, you know, it was a lot of Louisville people, I know, and I thought it was great. The weather cooperated. It was a perfect day, and Louisville should be very proud of what they contributed to American soccer that day.
I did not see this, but you put on your Twitter, you got a little one shooter of bourbon.
I did.
Did you partake or what?
Here's the best part, Andy. Here's the best part. Okay, so I did the game, and then I go downstairs to the press conference, and then I'm sitting there in the press conference, and I said, I bet you that bourbon's gone when I get back.
Mm-hmm.
I bet you it's gone. Mm-hmm. And you know what? It was gone.
Oh.
There was so I'm not a drinker anyway. It was gone. I had a feeling, and the funny thing was, not like there somebody else had theirs still sitting there. So I don't know why they picked on me. They probably said, oh, Dick Corsi just drinks Diet Coke, so I'm taking this. He's not going to miss it.
There you go. That's exactly what they knew who you were. You got to if you're a thief, you got to know your victim. And fortunately for you, they knew the victim. Mike DeCourcy with us at TSN. Mike, I put this on Twitter, and I try to DVR things, but I also like to watch them live. And this is, I guess, the problem with the West Coast having a lot of good basketball teams. But you know, UCLA Villanova was at 11:30. Duke Kentucky didn't tip off to almost 10 o'clock. Texas Gonzaga 10:30. Gonzaga UCLA tonight at least 10 o'clock, and then Duke Gonzaga is going to be at 10:30. I know I sound 100 years old, get off my lawn, but all these great college basketball games are tipping off 10 o'clock or past Eastern time zone, Mike, and it's killing me.
Oh, come on.
Oh, it's killing
me. Come on,
me.
You're still a young man.
Yeah,
come
but on. I drink beer.
You know, whenever I read tweets or Facebook posts complaining about this because their kids, like, oh, my kid couldn't stay up to watch the Super Bowl or the Final Four or whatever. And I'm like, look, I don't have any kids, so I don't give out much parental advice. But you got to have priorities, okay? And, like, your kid getting an extra hour of sleep one night out of 300 in a school year is not going to make as big a difference as it is if that kid gets to watch – Michael Jordan win the national championship,
yeah,
or Anthony Davis win the national championship or whatever. So that's the one piece of parental advice I'll give out. Have priorities. A little bit of slot sleep isn't going to hurt, if your kid really wants to be up for that. You know, when I was a kid, I remember I was, I've always been into the Oscars, like, forever,
Okay.
And so when I was a junior in high school, I think it was the year Rocky was nominated. And I had this television, and you can't do this anymore, but, like, I had this television with a brightness screen on it, and it had an earphone. And so, like, my dad wanted me in bed. I couldn't stay up to watch the end of the Oscars. They used to run those things 4.5 hours. So I put the headphone in, and I turned the brightness all the way down, and I listened to Rocky winning the Best Picture Award. So, like, if your kids want to be up for that, let them be up.
I agree. I guess I was going to take it down the generic road of is it good for college basketball that all these games are tipping off at 10:30. But that's a crap angle that we don't have to get to. More so for me, I drink beer. So at night, I get a little sleepy at 10:30, Mike. So it's bad for me. Yeah, I'm not worried about kids.
Again, priority.
Yeah, I'm not worried about kids. I'm not worried about little John, who's 9 years old,
but
watching little Duke Gonzaga.
Advice, Andy.
I know.
Is your beer more important, or is Gonzaga UCLA more important? You got to have priority.
Absolutely. Mine are probably the Bush Light, to be quite honest.
The IPAs.
Before we dive, I want to dive into the local teams, obviously, Kentucky, Louisville in survival mode, and everything else. What are some of the earlier returns? Duke is still undefeated. Texas got clubbed. Illinois got clubbed by 20 last night. The Zags, of course, look good. I'm throwing a lot at you. Michigan, a couple losses. Obviously, the big game tonight between UCLA and Gonzaga. Big picture, some of these heavyweight teams, what have you noticed with them? And while you say that and while you think about that, right now Wisconsin leads Houston the first couple minutes 13-0, and they're number 12 in the country, are Houston. So I guess any takes on big picture, the power teams, and then we'll get to Kentucky and Louisville here in a second.
I think the first overriding idea is that teams that have been together, and there aren't very many of those, because of transfers and all that sort of thing, going pro. Teams that have been together, Purdue being maybe the foremost example we have right now, they have an advantage. It's a clear advantage. Teams that are putting it together, and Texas is basically like sitting there with an erector set, right? None of those guys, like two guys have been a Longhorn for more than 15 minutes. And so they go up to Gonzaga, and Gonzaga is sort of in the middle because they got a couple of guys that played in, huge roles last year, a few others that played smaller roles, and then some new parts. So they had an advantage, plus they were at home. But teams like Purdue that are Purdue is almost entirely the same team as they were a year ago. He's moved some pieces around and changed the lineup a little bit and that sort of thing. But they know each other. They know what their coach expects. And so those teams have had an advantage. And the one disadvantage for Villanova, which is one of those together teams, they went out and played two of the others that are maybe a little better than them, Purdue and UCLA, and they lost them both.
Yeah. Right. I was going to look up Matt Painter. What's the furthest Matt Painter has been in the tournament? We went to the Elite Eight in Virginia?
Virginia.
Before then, what was it? Because that takes away the joke. I was going to ask you if Matt Painter is going to lose the first game or the round of 32 this year. I'm kidding, Mike! I'm kidding! It's a Purdue joke. I'm kidding. Purdue basketball. They're pretty good, dude.
They are good.
I should have mentioned them with all the good ones. Well, a team that's pretty good, top 10 team, Kentucky. The Kentucky Wildcats, since we last spoke, Ty Washington has put together two dominant performances. They played with Oscar Tshiebwe in foul trouble. They do have some injury issues with Lance Ware, obviously. Who am I thinking
Jacob
of?
Jacob Toppin. He might be back this week, though.
But obviously not huge competition. Although the Ohio win on Friday was a nice win. What do you make of Kentucky? Seen a couple games between the last time we had a conversation.
Yeah, I think the most important thing in all of that is Ty stepping forward and starting to understand what his role is, what it needs to be, how he can make that happen. That's the number one thing. He's been really good the last couple of games, and he has been more than just a scorer. I mean, 5 assists in the Ohio game, 12 rebounds in the Ohio game when Oscar was out of the way for a little while. Somebody else got the ball. It was who expected it to be Ty, but he did it. And that's huge. That's the number one thing. I think the number two thing is Keon Brooks coming along and especially in the Ohio game again, because you had Oscar out for so long in that game. But he really stepped up and did the job inside and was able to contribute there, and then followed that up with a nice game against Albany. Starting to feel, understand what he needs to do to contribute in that offense and how to make himself available and what's a good shot for him and what maybe he shouldn't take. You know, he still isn't making three, so okay, go find another shot. A 12-footer counts for 2 points, and although the analytics people don't love it, it still does. What the analytics people don't always factor in there is that 12-foot shot, that short corner shot, I mean, it does something to the defense, because defenses don't want to give up any points, and so if you can get that shot down, and Karl Malone lived on that shot. And he's in the damn Hall of Fame, I mean, he's the second leading scorer, I think, of all time, or LeBron passed him. And he's right in that, he's at least the top three. So that's, don't worry about, you got to be a three-point shooter to be in the league or whatever, Be productive. And he's doing that. And that's huge for the Wildcats.
Yeah, it's been a love-hate relationship, I think, with Keon Brooks, and he's turned it on. I was going to ask you, Mike DeCourcy with us, I think you kind of answered it there, and Cal's been talking about it. Keon shoots threes, and everyone says, well, don't make it, because then you're going to shoot more, right? If he makes one three, he's going to shoot five more, and so he shoots the shot that everyone hates, and that's the mid-range jumper.
He's good at it.
That's the long two, but that's what he's good at, so Cal's like, we'll shoot that. So you're not an analyst. I mean, you believe in analytics, but you're not beholden. Since Keon Brooks is a better two-point shooter, take the two-pointer, Keon. You're all in on that, right?
as long as you make it, you know, I mean, you're not going to make every one, but as long as you hit it at a high rate, absolutely. Because again, you know, this is about what basketball is about. Is about on the offensive end, it's about damaging the defense. That's why I call some of the things like that a tie tie can do or a severe can do, getting the ball to the rim and off the glass. If you're effective at that, and so effective that the defense fears it and then draws to you. Rather than dares you to do it, as Illinois' opponents are doing with Andre Capello right now. But if they're afraid of you taking that shot, and so they come to you, and then, okay, so you don't make it, but Oscar's on the other side. I call that an Allen Iverson assist. You know, Allen Iverson destroyed NBA defenses at the height of his career, even on the shots he missed. He shot 43%, 42%, whatever. It didn't matter, because he'd get to the rim, and defenses would say, oh, crap, I got to stop that. And then on the other side, Theo Ratliff would flush it down, and it's 2 points whether he scores them or not. So that's, you know, that's important for a team that has multiple guys that can do that. You have to be able to, you know, to be available on the other side. But again, in regards to Brooks, if you can, like your tie, and you can drive to 8 feet, and they come to you off of Keon in the short corner. They come to you because, you know, you can make that shot, or you can get the ball to the rim. So they come to you, and then you flash it down to him, and he shoots 60% on that shot, 55, whatever. That's still a great play, because it's about making baskets, whether you're making a layup or Kellen Grady's making a three. You still got to make baskets. And as long as you know what you're doing, you know, what you go into it knowing what the plan is, that's fine. It's, you know, I know that analytics people hate that shot. Hate, you know, obviously you don't want to shoot 18-foot shots, because that, you know, you're not going to shoot 50% on those. And they are worth literally 50%, you know, fewer points than if you, I should say it's 50% more points if you step back 2 feet.
Right.
So you don't want to take those, but those 12-footers, they damage the defense. You know, my complaint about the first game, the Duke game, was not that they were taking runners, but they were taking runners from 14 feet.
Yeah,
but if
Jacob
you're taking
Toppin.
Runners from 6 feet.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jacob Toppin, Ty too.
Mm-hmm.
If you're taking runners from 6 feet, it's a high percentage shot, especially if you know how to use the board. But if you're taking runners from 14 feet, it's a crazy shot. You're going to shoot 20% on that.
Okay, so Mike DeCourcy with us. I don't think Jack Grossman or James Strebel next to me are going to be of any help to this. You mentioned Allen Iverson throwing it down to Theo Ratliff for the flush. So I kind of want to go through that team. Theo Ratliff, Allen Iverson, and then I had Aaron McKee and Eric Snow.
Eric Snow, yeah. Yeah.
There was an old Dikembe Mutombo on some of those teams.
Was Mutombo on those teams?
He was, yep.
Yes.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. There's the starting five.
Eric Snow was a great pull, man.
Now, Eric Snow was the master of the free throw jump shot.
Yes.
If I remember correctly. How about that? Take that analytics guy. To me, it's like what Keon Brooks is good at. Like, he's good at that. So do what you're good at instead of what you're not as good at. It's sexy, but you're good at what you're doing in the last couple games. That has been the case. Mike DeCourcy with us at TSN. Mike, the Sporting News Big Ten Network, does the brackets there with Fox Sports. All right, so Louisville's had, what, one game since we last had a conversation, a survival game against Detroit, and that has been kind of the motto here, survive in advance until Chris Mack will come back. They get now two games in the Bahamas against Mississippi State. I want to get your thoughts on that game, and then either Maryland or Richmond. Withers hasn't been as good. The defense is a mess. They're inconsistent. I don't know how much to think. Is this going to magically get better when Chris Mack comes back? Detroit Mercy's not a good team, and they survived that game. Where do you make of where the Louisville Cardinals are?
Yeah, I can't expect that it'll get magically better. I shouldn't say that. It will get magically better. That doesn't mean it will get magically successful. That doesn't mean that you go from struggling to beat Detroit to beating the next Detroit by 15, or from losing your opening game to winning that game the next time you play a similar team, or to going and all, you know, and playing against a high major opponent like a Mississippi State and feeling comfortable that you're on even ground with them. That's a talented team. They've got some very good players. Garrison Brooks, you might remember from from Carolina. I think he's played once or twice in the Yum Center. DJ Jeffries, a guy I really liked at Memphis. He's a guy that he could play for me every day of the week. I mean, that guy's a warrior. He's not a superstar, but a hardworking guy that always delivers. And he was committed to Kentucky at one point and then withdrew that commitment after Penny got the job down at Memphis. So there's some real talent there. And the kid Molinar, Iverson Molinar, a dynamic scorer, not a great shooter, but maybe appropriately named. I wonder if that's where that came from. I haven't looked into that. But they've got some good players, so that's going to be a real tough first outing in the Bahamas for the Cardinals. And, it's not an easy field. The two teams you mentioned in the next round, both very capable teams.
Yeah, I don't know very much about Richmond. I've seen a little bit of Maryland. Haven't they lost a game, Jack? They've lost a game or two, haven't they?
Maryland lost to George Mason, and it's the kind of game that it sort of puts some doubt into your mind about Maryland. And again, that's so if Louisville were to play them, you would feel like, hey, if George Mason can beat them, we can beat them, but we got to play well, so to speak. They've got good players. They're another one of those teams that's sort of patching new players on to an older core. They've got, and they lost probably their best or most important player in Daryl Morcel, who decided to transfer to Marquette. So they've got a kid named Eric Ayala, who's a really tough, physical 6'2" guard who can shoot it from deep. Thatch Russell transferred in from Rhode Island, a dynamic guard, a very good player. Kudus Wahab, who transferred over from Georgetown, really good big guy. But they haven't been able to build any sort of consistency yet. And so it's an opportunity to play a team that maybe by the end of the year is pretty good, but at this point still isn't all there.
We don't know whether we should be worried about U of L or not, Mike. I don't know what to do with them. They have looked rough this season, and they were fortunate to win that. I mean, they needed Jared West to make a defensive play, and they needed a leaning, fadeaway three by Noah Locke to beat Detroit Mercy, who's well into the 200s in the KenPom. And like you mentioned, I know we just talked about it, it's going to get better. I mean, they do have the Bahamas games, which could be at least, a loss there. And then you immediately go, Mac is back, and you go at Michigan State and at NC State, and it's too early to talk about tournament and everything. It's just I'm a little bit worried right now that they have been playing now for however many games, four games, and I don't feel like many guys have lived up to their expectations. Jalen Withers is one of those. Malik is already talking about guys need to play harder and practice harder and look in the mirror, and I want to believe that Mac's going to come back and it's going to be magically better, but a team that we've seen not play well as we go into the ACC and the Chris Mack tenure, I don't know. I would say I'm a little bit worried. I'm not panicked, but I'm guarded with my optimism right now with this team. I am.
Well, here's what like I said, it will be better because he's a star coach. He's a guy who's won a ton of games. He's been deep into the NCAA tournament. So he does make a difference. The question is, can he make enough of a difference? And where I would worry is in the nature of the schedule. This schedule is not built for this team. To this point, it has been.
Right.
They've played the kinds of. But I mean, okay, so you go to a tournament where you're almost exclusively playing high majors, depending on, where you wind up in the bracket, the upper or lower. Then you go Michigan State, NC State, DePaul, which isn't, they're DePaul, but they were able to beat Rutgers a couple of last week. You got Southeastern Louisiana and Western Kentucky, and then you're into Kentucky and the conference schedule. Mm-hmm. So there's not a lot of room to breathe there. That's a really difficult December schedule for a team that would, if you were all there and all together, or even partly together, like Michigan State, say, if they faced that, I mean, they would have trouble. But if you're sitting there feeling like this isn't clicking yet, and partly because your head coach hasn't been on the bench yet, then you say, okay, now you're done with that, and you got to go on the road and play two high majors right in a row. And before the month is out, you got to play your arch rival. It's a challenge, and I don't want to be pessimistic, but I do think you have to be realistic that December is going to be a difficult month for them. And however, if they wind up on a good side of that month, if they could split those games, say,
right,
you know, the split Bahamas and, you know, pile the, you know, obviously you can't split that three games, but I mean, if you pile those games together with the other games I mentioned, you know, win the two you're supposed to and split the others, you can go into the ACC, which is not great, and feel pretty comfortable that you can have some success.
I was going to say, is it good or bad for U of L? But this would go, we used to talk about this with Kentucky and Mike DeCourcy with us. Is it good for Louisville that the ACC's down? They might be able to get some more wins, or is it bad because there's not going to be maybe the quality of wins that if you beat some teams? You don't have to answer that. That's just something that we've talked about.
When you're good, then you worry about that.
Right.
Like, you know, when you're Villanova's not going to have to worry about this because the Big East is good, but if you're Villanova or you're Purdue, it's a high-class problem to have. Boy, our league's not very good. No, if your league's down, that means, hey, maybe we can win some games and then see where we are at the end of the year. So that's what you have to look at it. And right now, with the way Louisville has performed to date and looking at it and seeing players that you had hoped to be significant players, huge contributors, that are just doing okay.
Mm-hmm.
Williamson, he's played better, but he's averaging 8.5 points
right.
a game. Winners, you mentioned. You know, Malik.
Cross,
you know,
even.
We've been over. He's playing his tail off. But offensively, he's not what we thought he would be, or even what he once was, you know, in between injuries. You know, the COVID year, he was really starting to come on before he hurt his knee late in that Duke game.
Last one for Mike DeCourcy, Indiana. We always put Indiana at the end, so here you go, Jack Grossman. 4-0 on the season. They play what, Jacksonville State tonight. Should obviously win that game and move to 5-0, and it's a slow burn for Mike Woodson. I mean,
Syracuse next week.
There you go. Syracuse next week, and then obviously you get in, you know, Notre Dame, and then into some Big Ten teams. I don't know. Where do you make of where the Hoosiers are? There is some optimism that there's a young core here that's doing something that might be pretty good in Bloomington.
You know, I think they built a really intelligent schedule. I'm very impressed by how they've done that, because, you know, it's one of those things that I talked about, I think, before with you about how he's done everything just right since he got there, in the sense of who he brought in to complement the players that were there, in the sense of keeping Trace Jackson Davis in the program on the roster, because not only you had to encourage him that, you know, throwing yourself in to become the 45th or 50th or 60th pick or whatever in the draft wasn't as good as coming back, and then as well you had to make sure if he came back he's playing for IU and not somebody else as an immediate transfer. So he's done all those right things, and the other thing he's done smart is putting this schedule together, gradual build. Let's learn how to win. You know, they had to play the St. John's game, didn't have a choice on that, managed it, didn't play great at the end, but managed it. You know, then the ACC Big Ten, don't really have a choice.
Mm-hmm.
But they got the right draw in that. They didn't say, oh, yeah, you're IU, so you got to go play Duke, which they've done before, by the way, in years when IU wasn't all ready to do that. So that's a good game for them to play. And then, they get into the conference. But even in that, they're fortunate that their first conference game is a home game against Nebraska, which has not played well. So I think that there's a lot for Indiana to be happy about. The one, you know, they're a team, whose league, you know, if things go right for them from now until December 30th or whatever, and then they start into conference, because they don't play a lot of heavyweights in a non-conference. You know, they play three high majors, and then the rest is all conference. And the league has not been exceptional. The Purdue is. Wisconsin, maybe, if they could beat Houston, could help out the cause for the Big Ten. But there have been a lot of L's in the Big Ten. It's been a disappointment.
There have.
Michigan.
Yep.
Illinois. And so... there may come a time where Indiana wishes the Big Ten were a little stronger. Or, you know, that it's a little early to make that judgment, but because they didn't schedule hard themselves, they need the Big Ten to throw a bunch of weight at them. And it can't just be the two games against Purdue. It's got to be more.
Right. Well, they're not going to beat Purdue anyway. Matt Penner's won nine. He's won, 2,000 times in a row?
19 and 5 since 2009.
19 and 5. That's always on the tip of Jack Grossman's tongue, the record between Indiana and Purdue. Well, Mike, appreciate the time. Enjoy the games. Wisconsin leads Houston right now 26-12. So that's what's going on. I'm sure you'll have a fun time watching that. And we'll keep following there at TSN, Mike, and all the other places that you have all your stuff. Always appreciate the time, Mike. We'll talk with you next week. Thank you so much.
I'll look forward to it. Happy Thanksgiving to all my friends in Louisville.
You as well.
And again, congratulations to the city on the terrific NWSL championship game.
All right, talk next week. There we go. A little Mike DeCourcy on a Tuesday. How about that? Mike DeCourcy on a Tuesday.
That's over 30 minutes with Mike DeCourcy. The one thing that stuck out to me.
He was being nice to Louisville.
Well,
that's what stuck out to me.
That and...
That's...
Here's the line that almost sent me under the table.
Okay. What are you doing under the table? I don't want you under the table.
Well, just falling over. Falling down.
I don't need you under the table.
Falling down.
Okay.
If George Mason can beat him, so can we. That's what stuck out to me.
All right.
If little old George Mason can beat him...
Hey, they made a Final
so
Four.
So can we. How the mighty... have fallen.
A little bloom off that rose.
Bloom
Locke.
Off the rose.
How about that, Locke?
Louisville basketball. That bloom, gone.
By the way, is Locke going to the Governor's Cup? Do we know?
I haven't heard. I don't know.
I think he's covering it for Spectrum News 1.
I think he probably is. He's sending in Denny Crumb's suite, maybe?
Is he really?
Maybe.
He's going to wear a little cards gear? Black and red?
I was going to bring this up. I'll just do this right now, and we can move on. I'm watching Kofi Coburn last night, and he, you know, whatever. He's going to be...
18-7.
Yeah, he's a compiler when it comes to that kind of a game.
Yeah.
But I watch him, and everyone loves him.
Yes.
And you can say, well, Sweeney, you would say differently if he were at Kentucky. And I've always thought this about his game. As dominant as he's been, okay?
Right.
When he got blocked by a guy that looked like me. And I'm like, if he would have went to Kentucky, everyone would have crushed John Calipari for not turning him into Anthony Davis.
That's
a
great point.
And he's going to be the same player at Illinois this year. That he was last year, Jack. And that's a good player.
He's a great player.
It's first-team All-American. Yeah. He's a beast.
Yeah.
But with Kentucky, he would have been a beast, but he wouldn't have been number four in the draft.
Right.
And it would have been a bust. Like, he's not going – him coming back, whether he went to Kentucky or
Illinois
is
not going to help him at all.
It's not helping him in the draft.
That's why I was surprised he came back at all.
Well, so I'm watching him last night, and my Brad Underwood's not going to catch any of this smoke.
No, John Calipari would have got – you're exactly right.
Not a
right.
piece of this
you
smoke.
You are 100%
and so,
right.
And so for the season, it's obviously terrible that he or Jalen Duren didn't go to Kentucky.
Right.
Okay? But Kofi Coburn would have went to Kentucky and not put up what he did last year at Illinois.
Right.
We all know that.
Yeah.
Okay. And he wouldn't have magically turned into the number three pick in the NBA
draft.
Exactly. You'll enjoy this.
Okay.
This
will
enjoy. Players not named Kofi Coburn or Andre Cabello, who had like 80,000 turnovers last night for Illinois. Would you like take out those two players?
Do I know anybody?
No. Well, no. Trent Frazier, maybe. But, but they took 35 shots, the rest of the team. How many of those 35 did they make?
12.
Seven.
Four.
Ooh,
four.
Four of 35.
No, Illinois is going to be fine. It's going to be fine. They're going to be fine without.
Adam Miller.
Yeah, Adam Miller. They're going to be fine without. DeSumo. They're going to be fine without Coach O. They're going to be fine without Chin Coleman. They're going to be fine. That's all I heard.
Please,
how good they're going to be.
Bring Chin Coleman.
Oh, yeah. You know what?
It's embarrassing.
How many recruits do they get without those guys?
I don't know. Do you know?
They're done. Done. Cal took them. They're done.
You lashing out at Illinois is
no. All I heard
new.
Was they're going to be great. They're going to be fine.
Wait,
they're not going to miss Chin.
Know.
They're
going to
miss Orlando. They're going to miss anybody.
Shit.
They're fine.
I mean, come on.
Now, Chin Coleman's amazing on the sideline. Looking good. Got the glasses on. Looking fantastic. Coaching them up, Orlando Tigua coaching up Oscar Tshiebwe, who's putting up monster numbers. He go right to during a timeout? He goes right to Coach O. He's coaching the big men. He's showing them what's up. Double, walking double. Oscar Tshiebwe better than Kofi Coburn, better than Jalen Duren. Get out of my face with both those bums.
Cal did have the statement of Sheboy's gotten a lot worse around the rim than compared to where he was in West Virginia.
Well, he was just—it was Cal being Cal. It was not.
Oh, just Cal.
Yeah, just Cal being Cal. Yeah,
would you settle down? Have a bush light.
Sweet little jump shot. Oscar's got bang.
Yeah,
bang. Six for six on the court last night. How about that?
Hit the liner so I can tell the people about DraftKings. We'll finish up the show next.
Are you ready for a job that gets you more? UPS is hiring now. As a warehouse worker, you'll earn up to $21 per hour, and you might even be eligible for a program that helps you with thousands of dollars for college, in many cases tuition-free. Search and apply now at upsjobsky.com.
Card Nation, this is attorney Alex White with SueDistractedDriver.com. Our law firm is a team of dedicated attorneys ready to fight for you. If you get injured because of someone else's negligence, their insurance company already has a legal team, and now so do you. If you or a friend or loved one are injured, find your attorney at SueDistractedDriver.com.
This is an advertisement.
Time now for The Take with Andy Sweeney.
BBN's being a little meek.
No, they're not.
No, they're worried.
We're lying in
they're
the worried. Weeds.
No, you're lying,
we're lying,
you're
in, the
lying
weeds,
in the weeds.
Ready to pounce.
Really?
At 10:30. And then it's on.
And James Strebel.
Actually, before that, we're pouncing
at 10:30.
We're pouncing at the stadium. We're showing out at the stadium, and we're going to pounce. No, let Louisville talk. Let him talk.
He's going to have goons out, isn't he,
Oh,
Zach?
Yeah.
He's going to be in midfield with dudes grabbing crotch. He's going to have goons out.
On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
Oh, Wisconsin and Greg Gard with an 18-point lead over Houston and Calvin Sampson. Will the Big Ten dominate the AAC? We'll tell you as we go today. 437-9680, Andy Sweeney, James Strebel, Jack Grossman, a birthday boy, Jack Grossman. I have no idea how old he is. How old are you?
26?
25.
24.
Wow. There you go.
We're both wrong. Way wrong.
Yes, we're way
Wisconsin
wrong.
Wisconsin lost to Providence. That's their one loss.
That's what
season.
It was.
Providence. Is it? Well, there you go.
Providence. We were trying to figure that out during the break.
Al Durham has more wins inside of the Kohl's Center than Indiana does in the 21st century.
Ooh. It's too bad you guys didn't keep that during the break.
Sorry. That
gave us a Providence of upset high school, which is where Big Easy went, and they're overrated as well. How about
speaking of which, I feel like we do have to play this sound of Strebel on the postgame show last night.
Okay, well, let's get to it. I know exactly what you're going to talk about, so let's go. Let's hear it.
They know they can get on the court and play a C game against New Albany and beat them by 25.
Did you just say New Albany?
No, I said Albany. Did I say New Albany? I may have said New Albany.
I think I'm going to pull up the stream.
I probably did. They might as well have been playing New Albany High School.
Thank you, X,
Yeah, thank you, Jason.
Can I get one more piece of sound here? Bobby V reacting to a guy who said to talk sports.
Oh.
All right, well, first off.
Talk sports, damn it!
First off, we got a text for that in the first hour, completely dismissing the fact we bookended the entire hour with sports. We got an angry texter about
it's the week of the rivalry game, and you guys are talking about baseball. Or whatever we were talking about in the first hour, Dollar Tree or some crap like that. Damn it!
I like Bobby B's Southern accent.
If they were talking about baseball, I agree with the texter.
Talk real sports, damn it! Talk football.
I don't know what to
Talk
tell
basketball.
You. I actually agree with that. Texter says Big Rig is one Bush Light away from screaming Chin Coleman won those games.
No, I'm not.
I mean, you're obsession with Chin Coleman.
I love him.
Chin Coleman is not adding a win to Kentucky staff.
I'm not saying he
or
is.
Taking one away from Illinois. No offense to him, of course.
Nothing.
We're going to have him on the air, but Mitch couldn't work the phones, and then he broke his headphones in a fit of rage.
Oh, my gosh. Which an all-time great moment.
Which now, looking back at it, is funny.
Yeah, no, it's an all-time great moment, and, you know, like you said, he's not winning games for Illinois. I get that 100%. but he's a recruiter. He's not going to be recruiting players to Illinois either.
Thank you. Texas says, let's bet on the game, Strebel. $1,000. We both send the money to Jack via Venmo right now, and then he sends it to the winner. Well, that's a lot of – that's put $2,000 into in Jack Grossman's Venmo.
That's a ninth of what was in Dieter's Venmo a couple weeks ago.
Number one, I don't bet the text line because all of you are snakes.
Dieter and 19 grand in
I know.
His Venmo.
That's insane.
Can you imagine?
Number two, I'm not putting that much on Jack.
What do you mean? Don't bring Jack into
this. I'm saying, like, giving Jack to, like, that's all responsibility. Like, hold on to this $2,000.
Stop it.
You're
not betting the text line.
No,
because
not a cent.
Obvious reasons.
Not a cent.
It has nothing to do with the pressure on Jack's Venmo
account.
No,
I just said, number one was they're all snakes.
Yes.
And number
two, the text line are snakes. Yes,
snakes.
I'm with you.
I'm not going with the snakes. I'm not lying down with snakes. I'm still owed $200. I'm still owed $200. I'm never.
You're never
going to
get it. You're never going to get it.
So no, Texter, I'm not betting you anything.
I wanted to bring this up. Now there's a bunch of quotes that are coming out. They're having availability there in Lexington. Louisville's going to have some. Patty Ice will be thrown too. So you know we'll get all these together
inside the program, brother.
Yeah. Inside the program, brother. Brad White, who's the Kentucky defensive coordinator,
Who's
just the smartest coach out there. If you know, Mark
Stoops. About him leaving midway through the season.
It's just too bad that none of these great coaches can get defensive backs, but that's a different,
different show. Yeah, maybe tomorrow.
Assumes a good defensive backs coach. That's Jason Entz.
You're stealing Jason Entz's
take. Speaking of Jason Entz, he locked himself out of the studio last night.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
When?
Last night after the game.
Oh, after the game, he locked himself
after
out?
After the game, after the post game.
What did he leave in here? He's trying to get back in here to get what?
Apparently, Spencer, one of our other board ops, was here. Thank goodness for him.
Oh, wow.
Otherwise, it's like, in that moment, it's like, what time was it? You guys were done.
We're done about 10 o'clock.
So this was probably 10:30 or so.
Okay.
At 10:30 last night, if Jason Entz is locked out, I got to go let him in, right? I got to drive from Southern Indiana at 10:30
and let him in?
To let him in. That's what would have happened, right?
Why did he have to come back into the studio?
Well, he left because he didn't listen to me. He didn't think the Westwood won. The rest of the crap game was on, and I told him it was, but he went outside to his car anyway, and they locked the back door.
They locked
the door, back door, and he had nowhere to go.
And he was done. He was standing out there like just by himself in the universe.
You ever bolted a back door? Jack? No, none of that? All right.
Bolted.
A little bolt the back door?
No.
That's Jason Entz. He did a little bolting.
He did a little bolting.
He did a little bolting of the back door.
And he got stuck out there, and he had to, and good thing Spencer saved him.
He did. So here's what he said. Brad White said about Malik Cunningham, quote, arguably the most talented offensive player we've seen all season, to which I tweeted, he probably is.
I agree with that statement.
If he's not, he's near the top. So,
yeah.
You know, we can split hairs, whatever it may be. Is that going to be complimentary enough to get retweets from Blank or anybody, or is it just going to be the hate?
No, it's going to be hate.
I'm just wondering.
Yeah, no, this is going to be hate. Blank's not seeing that. He's ignoring that. He, you know, anything that nice that these Kentucky coaches are going to say to Louisville players or coaches or fans or whatever, he's going to ignore that. He's going to go to message boards. To message boards. That's where he gets his. He's mining them for gold. He doesn't care about the niceness.
Why aren't you doing that?
Fine.
What? Why aren't you doing that?
Because I don't care enough about
him. Yeah, you do. Well, you pay for the message boards.
No, I don't
pay for the message boards.
I don't
need to get you active in there.
I don't respect.
Where are you right now?
I don't respect.
What the hell's happening with you?
I don't respect Louisville message boards or Louisville commenters. I just make fun of them and call them goofballs because that's what they are. I'm not going and wasting my time looking at Cardinal message boards saying that
hang on, before you play something, Jack looks like he's going to play something.
He is, yeah.
Hang on. You only do that. You go to Card Chronicle every morning. You're addicted to U of L stuff.
That's one site. I'm not going to go to Cards Jody's site and go and read the same message over and over again.
What if I got you a password?
I might do it then, but I'm not going to like screenshot it and text it out like the way Blank is.
You act like
it's the same damn.
Can you say this? You act like you're not a whore. But you are. Okay?
I'm just saying there's one thing that I'm not doing.
I will never go to Cardinal Authority. Hey, what if I got you a free password? Well, then I'll go to Cardinal Authority. It's that easy. I get you a password. I get you a password in 10 minutes.
But I'm not going to retweet it like Blanket Baker is.
Well, you need to.
It's the same
thing. You need
Kentucky
to.
Kentucky fans don't have
someone
peace.
Needs
Kentucky
to combat
fans
him.
Live in a
well, you're not doing
in
anything
a
now. You're not,
I've been yelling
no,
screaming
you're
for
it's
2 hours.
It's all L's down in the same nonsense.
It's not the same nonsense.
It's all the same nonsense. I need something new.
I need to
battle
something new. I've been battling Blank. He, you know what Blank did? He put that quote I said about Satterfield's not built for this. And then I had some Louisville fan
named Topper Carr.
Topper Carr go, I hope they put that in the locker room.
I do too.
That'd be great for the show. I would love it. I would actually love it if they put it up there and they had my picture next to it. They had me giving L's down. Yeah, I'd love it.
Popping an L's down. I know, I would absolutely.
With the Will Levis Photoshop.
So that does absolutely nothing. These bums, like they're sitting around.
Kentucky, the Louisville players might think that's what Levis looks
like. Is that Will Levis?
Is that him?
Is that Will Levis?
It doesn't look like the head that I was expecting on that body. Yeah.
Scott Satterfield probably thinks it's Will Levis. He doesn't watch film.
You think you're better looking than Will Levis?
No, God, no. I know how handsome he is.
You're such a bum.
He is.
You just bent the knee.
He's a lot.
You bent the knee.
Andy, have you seen his body? And his biceps and his pecs and his hair.
His biceps.
Everything.
You need to bend the knee right now,
about
actually.
What?
Two things. We have two things.
Okay.
And I actually, Jack, I want him to actually bend the knee. Like, I feel like I need you to pull a Kaepernick. Okay.
About what?
What do you call the running back of the year in college?
Doak Walker Award, yeah.
You know who is not a part of it?
Yeah, C-Rod, which is
you
fine.
You know who is.
Oh, that bum on the 6-win Missouri team? The
Beatty.
Bum?
Yeah.
He's a bum. His team's a bum.
The team they lost to?
I'm not bending my knee to Beatty. He's a bum. He's a bum on a bum team.
I even give you Doak Walker finalists.
I don't care.
There's only
good.
Three
he
in the
loses
country,
football games. Is he good enough to win football games for his team? Nope. He get all the awards that he wants.
I can't.
Lamar won a Heisman.
I can't win with him.
Lamar won a Heisman. Did he ever get to a New Year's Eve bowl?
Lamarvelous.
Nope. Never got to a New Year's Day bowl. Nope. Ever get to the college ball playoff? Nope. But he got that Heisman.
Oh,
I don't give a bleep about individual awards.
Oh,
is he on a winning football team? No, he's not. He's on a suck team with a dork as a coach.
But Beatty was better, and he is better.
No, he's not. He didn't win football games.
I didn't realize one player decided to win a football game or not.
Lamar did, apparently.
C-Rod, you better be nervous. He could be a reason Kentucky loses on Saturday.
He'll be fine.
You can't trust
be
him.
Be happy about any
Beatty.
Individual award
trust,
ever.
I trust Beatty to be on a... almost said a cuss word. I trust Beatty to be on a cramp team. That's what I trust Beatty
He's
to do.
He's lashing out at me.
I'm not lashing out at you.
I give him Doak Walker, and that and you urinate on Doak Walker. Do you understand?
I urinate on Mizzou football.
Well, that's fine.
Yeah, and he's part of Mizzou football. Sorry, now if he played for a good team, then I would bend the knee. But his team stinks, and so I don't respect him or his team or his coach.
Second year in a row, Jack Harlow is nominated for a Grammy.
The music sucks now. I don't care.
There.
Nobody watches the Grammys. Nobody cares.
Carolyn McLean does.
Well, she's the one.
Locke rubs her feet.
Well, I think watch it.
How about that?
Yeah, no one watches award shows anymore. Like their ratings get like fewer and fewer every time they're on. Nobody cares.
He couldn't even give me a crumb there, could he, Jack?
No.
With the Beatty thing, and he lost.
Even though he lost,
you lost. You took the L on that.
I'm not taking the L.
You already took the L.
If he wins the Doak Walker Award, then I'll bend the knee. If he wins the award, I will bend the knee.
It's going to be the kid from Michigan State.
Of course,
going to win the award.
Knows that. I mean,
moving the goalposts.
Yeah, Freddie Maggard had C-Rod winning the Heisman. How about that?
He was wrong. And if anyone believed that, they were silly. I didn't believe that.
He's better than Beatty.
Texas says, I can't wait till Sheway gets abused by U of L's front court. And I was, that guy's joking.
Yeah, that has to be a Kentucky fan trying to get me going. That's
Malik,
all that
Malik is hobbling up and down the floor. J.J. Traynor can't wait to leave.
Yeah, Sidney Curry can't play.
I love how Bob the other day was like, there's a player on Louisville's team that may leave. And we're like,
we all know who it is.
Like, how many weeks are we talking about here?
Like saying Dante Allen may leave Kentucky.
Yeah, you're exactly right.
Our guy John Sanderson. Oh, look at Biscuit. Get him out of here.
He's rolling
in. Get Biscuit out of here. Get him out of here. Great Smoky Mountains National Park. There you go.
I like that. It's got, bears on his shirt.
Give him an L's down before you go.
L's down.
There you go.
L's down.
That's a nice L's down.
Let me off.
You got to have a mean L's down. Texas says, UK blows.
Oh.
Texas says, Jackie Poo needs to review Mama Ledford's cookies.
How
about this? The Louisville offensive line got better when Dwayne Ledford left. and watch what crap team he's a part of. You got that, Biscuit?
100% true.
Yes.
Whoa.
Yes! There's the ball.
I mean, look, Biscuit's it's not even a commentary. It's just Jack McNeil has done an incredible job this year.
How about that?
How about Coach Bick? Yeah.
You know what? Let's end the show with a open the mic. Bicknell. Bicknell. Doesn't really Bicknell. Chant Bicknell.
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 It's just ain't that Wayne Ledford, so I'm all for it.
Ledford sucks.
Ledford sucks. Ledford sucks. Ledford sucks. Ledford sucks.
I like the cookies, though. The cookies were good.
I wish I could have had one. Biscuit
did that.
You never had one? Diener, save one for me.
That was before I
was. That was like 3 years ago.
That was early.
I was in Bloomington then.
You are in Bloomington. That's true.
I think his wife still follows me on Twitter, which is weird when we, you know, do things.
Yeah.
Which is making fun of the teams. That's an odd way for me to say that. I said that in an odd way. All right, let's get out of here, Jack. Let's get out of here. The Maui Invitational, right? Hopefully turns on Maui next.